Love your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe Mbakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
Going on 12 minutes past 9 on the Saturday, the 10th of September. Give me a call if you have difficulty with maths, or you had difficulty with maths in school, in primary school, in high school, and effectively were just so relieved when you left school and you're like, glad to see the back of maths subject because you didn't have to deal with it anymore. This morning, we're discussing maths trauma and asking the question, is maths trauma a real thing? And if so, how do you help a student to heal from it, right? Maths trauma is said to be a form of debilitating mental shutdown when it comes to doing mathematics. It might stem from so many different things, including being told that you're not good at maths, you don't have an aptitude for it, or just unfortunately, probably in far too many cases, having a teacher that is unable to relate to you and unable to relate to your learning style. And so you panic, you shut down, and you think you're not good at this. But helping us talk about maths trauma, most importantly, becoming confident with one's mathematical abilities, is Professor Zurab Yanalidze, who's president of the South African Mathematical Society. Prof Yanalidze, thank you so much for your time today. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Maths trauma, I'm sure you come across or have conversations about all the time. As soon as people hear that you're president of the South African Mathematical Society, what are the kinds of things that people tend to say? And by people, I mean those that haven't had bad experiences with maths and can't understand why you do this for a living.
Well, in general, if I say somewhere that I'm a mathematician, the immediate reaction is that you must be so smart. But in fact, I don't think that it's about being smart. Just like with any other profession, it's about loving and being dedicated to the subject. In any area of life, one can be smart or not be smart, and that is maybe something that plays an important role at school, mm-hmm. because of the competitive nature of mathematics at school. But later on, when you get to see the real mathematics, you understand that it's actually for everyone. And if you love the subject, you will be able to be successful at it. Mm.
You said something quite interesting. When you see the real mathematics, what is real mathematics and what about it drew you in?
The creative process. One doesn't usually think of mathematics as a creative subject. It seems to be a lot about learning various methods and remembering all sorts of formulas and then applying them correctly in a given situation.
Yes.
But this, unfortunately, would be true of any subject if it was made to be a compulsory subject and taught in a competitive way. Mm-hmm. For example, compare with music. Some children have natural ability in music, others don't. But now if we turn it into a compulsory subject and start assessing skills in music based on competition, then of course the creativity will be gone from there, and there will be a lot of stress associated with it and so on. So one has to break away from this boundary set by our education system and the society in some sense, and start to see mathematics as a creative process, and then a completely different picture will be laid out in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we reframe the way we think about mathematics, we reframe the way we talk about mathematics, first of all, in the home and, you know, societally, can you touch on how you've spoken about the competitive nature of mathematics in school, but can you talk about how maths is taught in classes, which can lead to maths trauma? A child thinking, I'm no good, or I'm dumb, or this is only for smart people, and just being fearful of numbers to the point where they just can't, you know, if they breathed a little bit and gave themselves the space to, as you say, be a little bit more creative, or even get things wrong, they might eventually find themselves at a place where numbers aren't intimidating. How do we teach maths right now in the South African context?
Well, there is a lot of mathematics that has been accumulated over many, many years and centuries and so on, right? And it's actually not bad because this mathematics underlines technological advances around us, and it's very significant. But then one gets, as a teacher or a lecturer, one gets tempted to convey large amounts of information in a short amount of time. But one forgets that it took centuries to discover all of this. And for a young person, they need time to understand things properly before moving on to the next material. So unfortunately, our curriculum, both at school and universities, are quite packed.
Okay.
And then the teachers and the lecturers feel pressured to convey the information as much as possible. And this is, I think, what creates the anxiety. So to kind of change the culture of that, one needs to relook at curriculum and maybe shrink it a little bit, but go deeper into each topic.
Mm.
And most importantly, give space for students to understand what's going on and ask their own questions and maybe encourage them also to be a bit creative before you move to the next topic.
Mm. When one is being trained as a teacher, what are the sort of pedagogical approaches that, you know, are at your fingertips? I wonder about that because sometimes you might be a subject matter specialist, but your ability to convey or to bring meaning or to bring your subject matter to life, we're not all adept. We don't all have the same set of skills. Is there any kind of pedagogical approach that's, you know, teachers who are being trained or perhaps even lecturers are then given in order to you know, be able to properly do their job or succeed in their efforts to educate young people?
I do not have a dedicated educational training.
Mm-hmm.
So my insight in education comes from experience of teaching students.
So
from my perspective, I find that there is actually one golden rule, and that is to try to understand what the students understand.
Mm-hmm.
Very often what I find is that when you're in the position of lecturer or teacher, you talk about mathematics and you just look at the bunch of students who are maybe nodding or listening without trying to understand what actually is happening in their minds while you're explaining the mathematics that you are. And so this method of trying to understand your students and try to understand what they understand, I think is the best approach that will kind of guide you to becoming a good teacher.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a call. Mogetsi and Santon has a comment. Welcome to the program, Mogetsi. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Good morning, Refile. Good morning, Professor.
Morning.
Good morning.
So you'd like to touch on this syllabus, the aspect of the syllabus.
Perfect. Yes, I will.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, quick one. I grew up in Zim. So in my high school, I changed school to another school, and then it really affected my maths. But I was good in numbers and everything. So in my career growing up, they told me that you're not good in maths.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? I got my degree in business finance, and everything was good in that sense. And then I got a tutor now to go back and teach me maths after my degree, and I wrote Cambridge Mathematics. And I aced it. So I always told people that I am good with math, but this is the problem. When I moved from a boys' high school to a boarding, that's when I found out the syllabus and the structure and how teachers were teaching us changed virtually.
Yeah.
And it really, really kicked me in the gut. So that's how I had a phobia. But I told myself I'll get a math. So there's a Zim syllabus called ZimSec. I didn't even write that one. I told myself I'm going for the best syllabus. That is Cambridge. And I took it and I passed it. So that's my story.
That's fantastic, Mogetsi. It really, really is lovely. And just describe the feeling further of, you know, getting to grips with that syllabus, discarding the phobia, as you say, or, you know, getting rid of the phobia, because quite often we just live with it, and I'm sure there's a bit of shame around it as well. You're an adult, you're a grown person, and now your child comes home with needing help with homework, but you actually can't help them.
You know, let me tell you a funny thing. My wife is doing psychology and she has a module in statistics. Guess who's the dude at home? The one who had a phobia. And my kids also, I'm helping them. So basically, let's monitor how kids are doing at school. when there is need not to move a kid from a school, one school to another, let's try to maintain the kids in one schooling,
yeah.
No matter how the syllabus, because we get used to teachers just like that, or we get used to systems in schools. So if you hop around schools, you're just messing up kids in terms of mathematics. Mm-hmm. That's where the phobia comes.
Yeah, absolutely. Moketsi, thank you so much for sharing your experience. Really appreciate it. Prof Yanalidze, you heard that, and quite a lovely sort of story of triumph.
Yes, absolutely. And it's so sad. I mean, there are so many times when someone might be told that they're not good at mathematics, and this is, in fact, I would say it's always a lie, because I think that out of all the human activities, I do consider mathematics to be the one that's most natural to a human being. Why? Because it's basically the science of conversation in some sense. It's the science of logic, and we all have common sense. And what mathematics does, it turns this common sense into symbols so that we can make use of it more effectively. And so it's basically the language barrier that actually is sometimes the barrier. Mm-hmm. Some people get the language quicker than the others. But being quick at something doesn't necessarily mean that you're good at it. You can only go so far by being quick at it. At some point, you need to slow down and go into details and have patience to do that. And we all have patience to do things when they're meaningful for us, I think.
Yes.
So I would discourage anyone telling anybody that they're not good at mathematics. Mm. But indeed, congratulations to our guest.
Moketsi.
So who made this triumph, and it's really an inspiring story.
Yeah. Prof Yanalidze, when it comes to your own work and your own focus as a mathematician, what are you, and this is a really, really silly question, but what are you working on or dealing with or focused on a day-to-day basis? What does a mathematician do, especially within your practice?
Apart from all the other routine things that everybody does, including a bit of administration at work and so on, what I do is to create new mathematics. I study something, and then I engage in it at a deeper level, and then some questions arise, and then it turns out that nobody has looked into this question before, and then I select which questions to look at, and I pursue them. And it also involves solving some problems, which in many cases I myself make them up. And in the process, some new interesting mathematics develops, which then links up with existing mathematics as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very fun and it's a really, really amazing experience.
Yeah. And these theories that you're trying to prove, are they, do they tend to be, it have real world applicability, or could they be quite theoretical, quite academic, but either way, as you say, new mathematics is being developed?
Applications has a long period before applications arise from something. I mean, even the mathematics that's applicable today, it has been developed during times when no considerable application was at that time. So it usually takes 100 or 200 years for a proper application to arise from completely new mathematics. But of course, there is also a field of applied mathematics which focuses on taking existing mathematical methods and applying it to real life problems. I myself am a pure mathematician. Most likely my mathematics, I will most likely not see in my lifetime real-world applications of my mathematics.
Mm. Oh, fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. In response to the question I asked about, you know, teaching or the pedagogical approach that learner teachers are given so that they can, you know, teach mathematics effectively. We got a message here on the WhatsApp line, and I'm just going to read it out to you. It says, "Hi, Rufilwe. I've been teaching maths to grade 11 and 12 for many years, and there are many factors involved in the anxiety caused by mathematics. It's about the style of teaching from the early years. It's also about allowing children to create their own understanding and knowledge from their early years and to continue this practice all throughout life. Now, in terms of our teacher training, the syllabus is jam-packed, so not enough time to absorb concepts. And our emphasis is on testing and exams. Our emphasis on testing and exams is abnormal. The anxiety is also exacerbated by time limits given to tests and exams. I agree with the professor. We have to change our approach on every level of our education system. That message there coming through from Celeste. So, Prof, from your vantage point, if we were to think differently around how we test one's ability to understand and do maths, what might that look like if we take away tests and exams and time limits?
That would be a kind of assignment-based approach. But now it will be difficult to maybe look in everybody's assignment on a weekly basis just because of the number of people that need to learn mathematics.
Sure.
So there needs to be some kind of group work also involved there, where at some stage students work in groups, and then the teacher looks at assignments submitted by the groups, and then maybe at some point during the year, at one or two occasions, individual assignments are also looked at. But what is very important, as you correctly remarked, and also the person who sent that message, is the time pressure is absolute enemy of mathematics. Mm-hmm. Mathematics is, I mean, as I told you, new mathematics gets applied after 200 years. So if you put time pressure on mathematicians that they need to develop mathematics that is applicable tomorrow,
sure,
mathematics will die and the future will die in a sense. I mean, we don't know how we will be able to progress without new mathematics. So time pressure is a real enemy here. And the examination system is bad because of the time pressure attached to it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really interesting stuff. We really appreciate you spending some time with us this morning, Prof. Yanalidze. I'm sure we'll be hitting you up and asking you back on Weekend Breakfast for any mathematics-related matters going forward. Really appreciated your insights today.
Thank you very much. Thank you.